Well, hello. I'm Moose. I'm known by other aliases on the internet, but that's the one that I use here on Noster. And I really appreciate all of those of you I interact with. I love it. I'm not missing any of the other, social media is garbage. But communicating with people across an open network, pretty cool. And, oh man, I want to talk about Noster too, which I used to say Noster for the longest time, but I got converted, I guess. Maybe I'll do another one if people want to listen to me ramble like a nut. But anyway, here I'm going to ramble about a catastrophic failure of my Lightning node and how AI is going to ruin the world and we're all going to be okay. So please sit back and relax and enjoy this one single podcast episode that will probably ever be made. And please feel free to do whatever you want with your notification bell. That's really not my business. I had a really awful thing happen just a couple days ago. But the experience taught me a lot about a lot, reminded me about some stuff I had already known, and I just had some really good thoughts during it. I think sometimes crises can have a silver lining. So to brag, I've been running Lightning nodes since. I need to go look, but I think it's the very end of 2018. It's whenever Testnet was not the only thing anymore. Like there was this moment where there was a real production Lightning network starting to happen and everybody was saying the word reckless. And I have run too many nodes. And part of the reason for it being too many is that I'm kind of right brain, creative, a little bit chaotic. And I understand what I'm doing. I suppose I could even say I know what I'm doing, but I'm capricious and I do things like this last time after having recovered Lightning nodes in the past, promising myself a year ago that I was going to go ahead and put a RAID together, a mirrored drive setup for this thing, and kept procrastinating as the price went up through the roof. And then the drive died. So I've been through this another time and it was actually two nodes because I was running a CL node and, LND node on the same little idiotic machine. And the same thing happened. The SSD failed. So I actually had to recover both of those. Note for node runners, Core Lightning is way better at recovery after a failure than LND, but they both have solid pathways back to home. But for Core Lightning, you can actually get the node back up and online as long as you have the latest channel state backups. But on LND, the backups are static, and basically they just outline the existence of that set of channels that were live when it died. And when you bring it back up and feed it that information, it just goes through closing all of them for you. Well, actually, it asks your peer partner to do a force close because you can't do anything at this point. And needless to say, there's a lot of command line and a lot of, digging through documentation and remembering exactly all the commands that you can do with LNCLI. But I guess one good thing about making the same mistake more than once is I've already done this before, so I can do it. And I feel pretty good about that. And so I set it all up. I started going and then I thought, well, you know what? Let's have an AI assistant. So I did, and I was using GLM 5.2, which I think is kind of a middle-of-the-pack contender in the AI world with various of the big commercial leaders just scoring better at benchmarks and stuff, but this one's cheap. And this thing was magnificent. You know, AI has improved so much in such a short amount of time that it's a little bit mind-blowing. But it probably cut the process of getting the node completely closed down by 75%. Because a lot of this is reading and digesting and remembering, in this case, documentation, going through the analysis of the downstream of what happens when I do this, where are the foot guns in that? You know, and even just using the command line, like I got to do the dash dash help a lot to be like, hey, which one of these is the sub command for doing, you know, for signing a message so I can log into one of these things or, and so on. And having AI with me, I don't have to digest that stuff. I can just ask it, you know, what are the results of this? And then if I have any concerns about its answer, I can certainly check, but it sped things up extraordinarily much. And I just want to pause to say here to those of you who might be hearing this that have been channel partners, I'm sorry. I know I'm a flaming mess sometimes, but I love it. I've actually already got my next machine picked out. It's going to be a little NUC instead of a Raspberry Pi, and I am going to have the mirrored drive. I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and buy two of whatever I settle on, which actually could be kind of expensive. But anyway, you know, I'm incorrigible. I just am going to keep doing this, evidently. So the kind of the level one lessons in this have been how to trust myself, how to remember to try to execute some of my better ideas, and how to give myself a break for being a knucklehead over and over again. You know, at least I'm doing something. So, yeah, there's a level two. There's another little thing that I thought of during this too that I think is worth mentioning. And that is, I think all of us have heard someone say or possibly have said ourselves something like, well, your brain's just going to turn to mush if you keep using AI. You're not going to be able to think about anything for yourself. You're just going to be doing what the robot tells you to do. What kind of life is that? The reason this resonates for me is there's a lot of truth in it. And AI is extraordinarily dangerous. I know that there's going to be people that fall in love with an AI chatbot. I think it's already happening. And this can wreck people's lives and do crazy stuff. And it is obviously going to have an impact on the way people do technical things and all kinds of other things too. And the speed at which this is developing is breathtaking. And the dumbness that exists in it can also be breathtaking. So we don't really even completely know where we're going. You know, I think it's a little overhyped, but for good reason. But that argument that it's something that is bad for us, or it's, you know, somehow not, organic or legitimate or the good way to do things, or, you know, it's like we're not going to have muscles. If we use this, we're going to atrophy. Our mental muscles are going to shrink because we can just ask the computer how to do it, and then we basically just become the remote control for the computer to do it. And that is a very sort of dystopian way of looking at it. And I would also point out that it is black and white. It is kind of saying it's just bad. It's just going to end badly. And I think even some of the most difficult technological inventions of mankind have silver linings. Even something like the nuclear bomb. In itself, there are some arguments that you can make that support the idea that since this is inevitable, that at least it can be used for a deterrent. That's pretty weak. But even that, you know, the other side of that equation is nuclear energy, which may be how we're going to be able to continue to survive. This technology reminds me of some things that happened in my old industry. I was a recording studio engineer and owner and producer for 15 plus years. And there's tools that you can use. And one of the more famous ones is pitch correction. And pitch correction is, it can be used so many different ways. I mean, that's how they get that, you know, T-Pain thing going. And it can be used the way I was proud to use it most of the time was more like sandpaper. You know, you get a great take with so much emotion and she just like skidded up over the pitch in that one spot. But other than that, and like, gosh, how are you going to get that little tone growl thing? And my goodness, it was perfect except for, and you just tick, tick, tick. And it's like, sounds great. You know, didn't make it sound artificial, but then it's in the eye of the beholder or the ear of the beholder, right? Actually, AI in the music industry, that's another one. I kind of almost want to go off on that. But I would have some more purist clients that would come in and knock out a great take and get real frustrated because little things are wrong and take this very kind of like principled stand that I'm not going to use pitch correction, man. Just do this natural. And that's fine. I respect it. It is a wonderful ideal. And actually some singing out of tune is beautiful. So again, ear of the beholder. But I would tell these people when it became more and more obvious to me that just a little bit of work in that regard was helpful, I'd say, look, it's just a tool like a nail gun. You can build a house with wooden nails and a wooden hammer, you know, and maybe it'll even last 100 years, but you're going to wear your ass out doing it. A nail gun can be used for good to build a house or to bad. You could, you know, poke somebody in the head with one of those nails. It'd be catastrophic. So tools are tools, and AI is the same thing. Yes, the muscles we use for digesting information are going to change. We're going to be able to aim those abilities at other targets, perhaps. Maybe ones that are more important or ones that we enjoy more. I don't know. Try to look at it from an optimistic framework. You know, you could make all kinds of great rosy pictures. I thought it was interesting how Elon Musk did like a complete 360. He's like one of the first people to say, we have to stop developing this because the robots are going to kill humanity. And then immediately just about faced and was like, oh yes, everybody won't have to pay for food anymore. And you know, this kind of binary thinking is not good. It makes us crazy. And it's just a tool. Ah, and man, if you end up losing your L&D node, it can really help you. It'll help you be able to resurrect it long enough to be able to get the channel closes started. And it won't take quite as long. And, you know, you might feel a little more positive about it since you're making progress the whole time. I tell you, when you're trying to recover a lightning node and you don't know for sure if you're going to make it through, it's kind of scary if you, like me, have a significant portion of your life's wealth on this ridiculous little credit card size computer and its hard drive that no longer works. But, you know, I say, do what you want. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to use the tools. I'm probably going to pitch correct stuff, especially if I happen to be singing. Oh my gosh. That's what it's for. And I'm going to try to eat locally grown food more, and I'm going to try to be more out of my car and more on my feet. But I'm also going to drive to places that I couldn't get to otherwise and use the tools. And hopefully, you know, we see more of the positives than we do of the negatives. Now, just to end this on a somber note, I'm still worried. I'm worried where this goes. I do think there are some obvious dangers, and then some sort of hidden ones too that stand to develop over time. The absolute information realm that we inhabit now with media of every type now able to be analyzed faster than teams of humans could do it. We're already starting to see some of the shitty stuff, but I think I am responsible for how I engage with my world and what I allow and don't allow and where I stand up and say, no, this society should hold a line here, and where I just decide for myself, yeah, this is not my path. Good luck to those who are on it, but I'm going to go back over this other way that, you know, I know better because I'm old. Anyway, I just felt like saying all that. I hope that was interesting to hear. And if anybody has trouble with a node and they want some help, I have got experience. Moose out.